Anybody have any thoughts about our discussion about dispensations yesterday?
Yeah, I think I just summarized it. I think it's all about ego.
Ego?
Ego.
Ego. The ego says, God is not finished with me yet, so I still have time. And I'm going to work this thing out. Me and God are real close. I got a good relationship with him, and he watches over me, and he does this for me, etc. Well, he's never going to finish with that, because there's nothing to finish. It's over with. Ego is extinct from God's point of view. So if you're thinking from that position, egotistically, you can't be finished. But if that is crucified in Christ, then it's totally finished. It's over. There's no stress. There's no resistance. There's no nothing except Christ.
There's no battle. No battle.
No battle.
I was thinking a lot about this because I tried to look at it from the standpoint of the historical. We know for certain that in the first century, every writer of the Bible had no truck with time. I mean, they redeemed the time. But it wasn't long in some of Origen's writings and some of Chrysostom's writings, time started entering in. And so I'm sure it's been that way. And it, of course, today, that's all there is. And the reason is this. If you, even at some smallest molecule of your persona, can justify and can say that time, that there's something that yet needs to happen, then there's no fear of God. Because you don't have the urgency or the zeal to see how incredibly mind-bendingly important it is to see that it's finished. And there's nothing left to do except faith. But all through history, after the first century, I'm sure there were periods of revival, but right now we're in the period of the greatest apostasy ever. Because the idea that time is over, it's not even hinted at that I know of, except in places where the church is persecuted, and except with J.W.
J.W.
My good friend J.W. Lumen.
Yeah, see, that's part of the thing.
But he teaches where the church is persecuted.
There are time periods that you look at man's expression toward God individually, corporately, and it changes, moves up and down, and God does something here, he doesn't do it there. I mean, the Jews had it for a while, and that picture was not necessary, so it changed to something else. But even in that framework, God doesn't change.
It's all rebellion.
Well, I mean, God instituted things.
Yeah, but I know he instituted the capacity for rebellion so that you would come to the place where you had seen it because you tried everything else.
Yeah, Judy and I had a talk about it last night. Our comment, I thought, was stupid. In that the picture has never changed. All the pictures from Moses to Joshua to everyone. And that's what we marvel at here, that we talk in 100 different ways, but we always talk about the exact same thing. And so that is our constant. And yeah, it might have 100,000 different expressions, but that never changes. That is the timeless.
Right. That's the whole basis of everything I've taught from day one, was that time was over.
Only perhaps you could go to the whiteboard this morning and do your cubist rendition of the time-space. Well,
they've all seen it.
Oh, they have? Okay.
All it'll do is make fun of me again. No, I did it last night, and it was just unmerciful.
It was the worst.
Shut up, Pete.
Drawing.
I saw 4D. Lines. I'm just reading. I can see 4D. 4D? Yeah, it was
I was
captured.
Shut up, Ronnie.
All right. You have to sit there.
Stay away from the mark. Step away. Away.
I won't bring that up again this week.
One more day.
The other thing that even is, they make I get more fun made of, and it's somewhere on the website, is the one I made about the 70 weeks of years. I don't think I could ever make a living being a draw person. All right, that's enough of that.
We still on Wesley?
The scripture we're studying is Luke 7:35. Wisdom is justified over children, and we're studying wisdom, and we have been for the last 45 years, it seems like. We are now at Colossians, chapter 3. More on wisdom. Some of this, hopefully we'll get to this morning, is really interesting. Verse 12. Put on their. Well, verse 10.
Did you say 3:10?
Chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So again, it's this idea that wisdom is a feminine word and has to do with the perfection of the bride. Let's go to chapter 4. Two verses, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And there you go. We have walk in wisdom, redeeming the time, and speech seasoned with salt. And that all has to do with the component of eternity and the changelessness of Jesus Christ, who is your only self. Amen?
That's an interesting sentence, and that the first half says, let your speech be grace and seasoned with salt. How does that give you the knowledge to answer?
The wisdom. It gives you, it's the wisdom. So that when you answer anybody's question or respond to anyone, you don't respond to what the flesh is saying or what you see with your eyes, you respond in wisdom.
So this is a mindset.
Right. The mindset is always seasoned with salt. Again, if your speech, again, we talk at about 130 words a minute on the average. Your thoughts are 10 times that, and so your speech. You have to have your thoughts seasoned with the same thing. That's what it means to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You cannot allow your mind to be seduced by some apparent need that you have. whatsoever you do in thought, in word, or in deed, you do, what does it just say? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father by him. There's nothing you don't do in the name of the Lord. You can't, there's no separation. There's not some spiritual thing and some other thing you're doing. What I would say.
That's the answer to that question. I don't think, you know, I see it. It's just a real odd way to get to answering every man.
Well, it's very apparent. I mean, it's wisdom redeeming the time. Must the speech be seasoned with salt? They're all saying the same thing.
That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Yeah. How do you do that?
That's what we just talked about for the last 5 minutes.
I'm in the bathroom.
What?
I'm in the bathroom blowing my nose.
Well, then you're just never going to know that. You won't discuss things based on what you see or your sensory perception. Wisdom will tell you what's really going on, how to answer. All right.
So it's just basically telling people the truth.
Let's go to James, chapter 1, first book after Hebrews. This is the one that's important.
James chapter 1, verse 2.
My brethren, count it all joy. Actually, it says, count it the highest joy when you fall into diverse testings or temptations, knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the double-mindedness is this thing we've been talking about, of going from spirit, or to you're paying attention to the world. You can't, it just drives me nuts when I see people do it. And so you're double-minded. Don't think, it's not going to, God didn't even hear your double-mindedness. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. But it's coupled to wisdom. Wisdom says you no more have these two lives. You have one life. That life and that self is Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what you're doing. But if you go back to cause and effect, go back to leaning on your own arm of understanding, when an issue comes before you, then you are in a state of duality. Can you see that the reason this is so rare is that this costs you everything? Because if you cannot return to what your old ways of doing things. Yeah, I could go on forever on that one. Now I'll go to James 3. Verse 13. This is another really, really important one. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation. And remember, conversation doesn't mean talking. It means manner of life. Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Amen? All right. Now we go to 2 Peter 3. Another big one. Start in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, where dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, who according to the wisdom given unto him has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to be understood, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So wisdom has something to do with the understanding that in the next second, in the next millisecond, the heavens may melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all things therein shall be dissolved. Amen? Yeah. Now let's see. Now we're going to see some big time wisdom. Revelation 13. Verse 18. Here is wisdom. Here is wisdom. Everybody got that? Here is wisdom. Let him that understand count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. 666. It is the number of all men.
But why does it say the number of men?
Well, it just says it's the number of a man, you, and the number of a man, Jeff, and the number of a man, especially Christopher. He's even got a golem named Chiz.
If you're talking about me.
666.
12, 12, 12.
We're studying Leo on Wednesday nights, and we're on the second decon, which is the cup that's seated on the serpent that covers a third of the sky. And in that cup are 13 stars. It's the only constellation with 13 stars. And 13 is the number of apostasy, because you've added to 12 the number of perfection. It's kind of scary. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of it's the number of man, but it's also the number of a man. And his number is 666. Does anybody doubt that? That's what everything in the Bible says. Why doesn't everybody know it then?
All they want to hear is good news.
Yeah, you've heard me say many times that people call the Bible the good news for modern man. Even there's even a Bible named after it, it says, one of the translations. Good news for modern man. It's not good news for man. It's the worst possible news man could ever have. They add to perfection, and therefore it's the number of apostasy. What?
Well, digging into this once again, what's wisdom? Well, it's the number of a man. So you got to the number of a man. But then,
once you understand that, then the rest of the wisdom is easy. And repentance is as natural as breathing.
Yeah, but what you have to understand about that.
You have to read the, it's about the whole first chapter, 13th chapter, which is about the beast. And then it's about the religious beast. And both of them, the number is 666.
Yeah.
Number of man, number
so
of beast.
So the knowledge of the failure of man, I guess is what they're saying, or the evilness of man, or
it's a fruit of the curse. If you don't have wisdom, you don't know that. I mean, if you don't know that, you don't have wisdom.
Right. And that's the source of all wisdom.
Okay, let's go to Revelation 17. See another one.
Did we read 13?
Yeah, we read this. Just one verse.
You were in the bathroom.
Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads of the woman, the whore of Babylon. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. The seven, and the word, the mountain there, it's the seven high places on which the woman sitteth. It's the seven high places of your mind on which the whore sits. She causes all, great and small, to drink of the wine of her fornication. So here's wisdom first. Count the number of men. Here's wisdom second. Noah, the whore of Babylon, seated on the seven high places of your mind, and in each cell phone.
I heard you were T-Mobile yesterday.
I heard what?
We didn't make it. We didn't make it. No. I heard wrong.
Anybody have any? I mean, this is as big as it gets.
First, you have to erase the board. Everything you ever thought about wisdom just has to go away.
That's what it says.
Yeah, you can't incorporate your former concepts and thinking and wise business.
No, I know you've been studying wisdom, but I still, what is wisdom?
It's just, we just said it. First, here is wisdom. Here is wisdom. Let him count the number of the beast. For the number is the number of man. And his number is 666. That's the Antichrist. That means you are the Antichrist. That's the first step of wisdom. The second step of wisdom is here is wisdom. The seven mountains, I mean the place where the beast is seated, the whore of Babylon, which controls the beast, it is seated on the seven high places of your mind.
Well, one place it says, you know, attaining wisdom is like a good thing, and now it sounds like wisdom.
The wisdom of God is a good thing, not the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man, it says, is devilish. I'd say it again. Here is wisdom. Let him know the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and that number is 666. That's the predicate of all wisdom. Mind is just stupid. The mind is a little slut.
Well, that's the 666 tie-in. It never will answer.
Well, but my point is, if those of you that are here should certainly know this by now without the Bible. You know you've been full of crap your whole life.
You trying to put a guilt here?
Perhaps you can watch your Proverbs on tomorrow.
Take it, big guy.